Hey folks, it's Jamie here with Movie Moan over at TMT or ThinkMcFlyThink.com. I don't really know what to.
Jamie is speechless.
I am speechless.
It has left him dumbfounded.
Yes. I liked it. You know. Yeah. Let's not even like do intro. I mean, like people know you.
Hey, wait a second, Jamie. Aren't you going to introduce me?
No.
Son of a bitch.
Touche. As always, joining me with Movie Moan is Mr. Phil G. Phil, I would say hello, but you already said something beforehand, so what's the point?
It's fair enough. Phil's
dying. Sorry, as you
March 8th, 2009. Jamie's an asshole. I'm going to beat him in the nose.
And then I'm going to send it to some paper, and they'll say it's, you know, I leave it entirely in your hands if you want to run with it. As you can tell, we've seen The Watchmen. Or just Watchmen, not The. So what'd you think?
I think everybody who plans to see The Watchmen has seen The Watchmen.
I agree, actually. Then that's, you know, contrary to popular belief from the internet, that's not as many people as you would think, i.e. $70, $80 million opening weekend projections. Yeah, that was going to happen. I mean, you know, we'll get to the box office in a little bit, but let's just move all that aside. What did you think? Let's talk about the film. Phil, what did you think of the movie? All right.
Well, it was absolutely fascinating for me to watch the movie. Being a non-fan, I had not read the book. The only reason why I was really, really pumped to see it was because I love all movies like this, and I'm a huge fan of Tales of Development Hell, if you will.
Yes.
So I've always been on track of all these supposedly unfilmable, unmakeable film projects. Watchmen has been in the pipeline for the last 20 years. Mm-hmm. Finally, it's up there on the screen. I saw it the best way you can in IMAX. I would say I admired the movie. I can't say I loved it. I certainly can't say I loved it. I liked it. I would say admiration is the key word I would use. It is no doubt an absolutely stunning film. And I will say this, the highest compliment I can pay to the film, there was not a single point in the film where I was lost, confused, wondering what was going on, wondering who the characters were. I thought in terms of the exposition and dealing with that, for the most part, it was done absolutely fabulously. This is not David Lynch's Dune. This is not The Golden Compass. If you have a reasonable sense of intelligence, you will be able to figure out what is going on. You won't be lost.
You're absolutely – that's on the money. I guess the analogy with me, how much I knew Watchmen, would say like if I – like it's the big exam and I have not studied whatsoever and I cram the night before and I end up making a C- on the next day. I knew enough around – that would be my analogy of the Watchmen. So I knew certain things about it. But I didn't want to read the comic book going into it because I just didn't. You know, I've done that before, and it never worked.
You don't want to be one of those guys saying giant squid. Where's the giant squid?
That never sounded like a good idea. Even just like it's just sounds so silly that I don't see how that was ever going to be a problem. You know, like I mean, like cutting that out. I don't see why there was an issue with doing that. But that's just me. But yeah, so I stayed away from the comic book, and I'm glad I did because I thought it was a quite excellent film. I get the arguments against the film. It's actually very cold and at times a little bit hollow. You know, there's not really you know what I mean? It's like it's great to look at and it's very much about ideas and you know, it's I don't want to compare it, but it's
no, you've touched on what I was going to say next. It's that I think to be honest, this is a flaw of Zack Snyder as a filmmaker. And I'm
the flaw of Zack Snyder as a filmmaker is that goddamn, you know, slow-mo and then accelerated back to regular speed.
I didn't think it was that excessive. It didn't bother me.
It was excessive in the opening when the comedian is murdered. However, I stopped noticing it because I got so into the movie. So I guess it's one of those like 50-50 kind of reactions. It's like, yeah, there's too much of it, but it was there, but it didn't bug me because I was so wrapped up in the story and what was going on.
Well, fair enough. But back to my original point,
yeah.
I think And it might be a problem with the material, but I'm not going to use that as an excuse, because this is a film. It's got to stand by itself. You adapt it if something doesn't work. I think, yeah, Snyder is a master of making stuff look cool, and he's a master of being able to tell this story. He's done as good a job in the exposition as I think anybody could do. But there are instances, yeah, I don't really care that much about any of the characters. Just to give you an example, it's okay to give spoilers, isn't it?
We said earlier. Said the meeting got murdered. You know, oops.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
There's a moment in the film during the press conference with Dr. Manhattan where his old girlfriend comes in and reveals she has cancer, rips off the wig, her hole falling off there. And I'm thinking at this point particularly, I should be caring right now. I should care about this. This should be a dramatic moment that makes me feel something, but it doesn't. In fact, it's weird how we kind of meet the character there, and then the backstory of them as lovers comes later.
Right.
So it doesn't mean anything. If it was the other way around, maybe it would mean something. So it doesn't mean anything. It's a sort of a cold, hollow film. It's not going to be making its way onto even my top 10 list of favorite comic book movies, I don't think, because me, I like movies with heart and with characters that make me, you know, that I can relate to, and a film that makes me feel something other than, ooh, that's cool, ooh, that guy got split in the face, ooh. And by the way, the entire audience I was watching the movie with, deadly silent throughout the whole film, not a laugh. Not a reaction.
See, that's my problem with the marketing. It was just like, you know, people said, oh, well, everyone knows it's an adult movie. It's like, no, they don't. Like, people have no idea. So when the rape scene came up, yeah, people were just like, oh, my God. That's so stupid. People just assuming that, oh, well, everyone knows. No, they don't. Ugh.
Yeah. And I also think that the big twist, of course, is it is a murder mystery. It's a conspiracy mystery, and it's all building to who's the big villain.
Right.
And when it is revealed, it's a flaw of the movie, in my opinion. You know, even though I knew going in, because unfortunately that had been blown to me by every single review I'd read, you know, I could look at it objectively and say, even if I didn't know,
you knew.
I wouldn't care that much.
Well, you would have guessed.
Yeah.
You would have guessed, he's so in the movie, Ozymandias is so, he's, of all the characters in the ensemble, he's the one who's there the least, so it becomes obvious, like,
exactly.
Well, obviously, it's him.
Thank you. It's like a Murder, She Wrote ploy. Oh, it's obviously that person, because we haven't seen them for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Which, you know, everyone wants to give Matthew...
in the movie enough.
Everyone wants to give Matthew Good a lot of shit for it, but I thought all the performances were solid. I mean, particularly... You know, everyone's talking about Jackie Earle Haley because, well, frankly, he is the movie. I mean, there's really yes, it's an ensemble piece, but man, every time Rorschach shows up, you want to look at him. You want to see what he's going to do next.
But he's not my favorite character. My favorite character is Dr. Manhattan. I think he's just as much the movie as anybody else.
He was great too. I mean, that was, you know, I don't know if you go into the movie, like if you're auditioning for the movie and like what part do you want to play, you want to play either Rorschach or Dr. Manhattan, I would say.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Not me. Actually, I'd like to play Night Owl because then I'd get to wear this awesome Batman suit and have sex. But, you know, that's just me.
Well, I mean, Patrick Wilson, a great actor. What can I say? I thought everyone did a spang up. Although I will say one of the glare – I tell you what I hated. Was the Richard Nixon, quote, look-alike.
He looked like something out of Dick Tracy.
Yes. Thank you. That looked nothing like Richard Nixon. And you compare that to the opening montage during the credit sequence, which is brilliant, by the way.
Yes.
When you see Dr. Manhattan meeting Kennedy, damn, like that guy looked just like Kennedy. They hired a look-alike. I remember a year ago when they were starting filming, they were walking around outside the sound stages, and you could see him. It's like, oh, shit. It's JFK. He's back from the dead. It's like, oh no, it's a lookalike. I mean, you think like, boy, you couldn't have gotten a Richard Nixon lookalike, maybe? That guy looked nothing like Nixon.
And given how well they did the JFK scene, I figured
wow.
It's obviously a joke. They're obviously taking the piss with Nixon because they clearly have the talent to do him accurately, and they did a caricature.
I just, you know...
Or they could have just messed up, possibly.
They could have run out of money, because that movie was so damn expensive.
Shall we talk about... Can we talk about the ending?
Talk about anything, man. It's our show, damn.
I have to jump on the bandwagon with the people who complain about the ending. The last 10 minutes for me have problems. The last 5 minutes suck. Completely.
Wow. I disagree, but go ahead.
Okay, I'll go ahead first. Okay, first of all, in the last 10 minutes, obviously, Ozymandias Dice is the man behind the whole thing. He's come up with this plot to bring the US and Russia together in a new area of peace and save the world from nuclear destruction by framing Dr. Manhattan as this superhero gone bad who's going to destroy the Earth, and they have to band together to stop him, and it's all a fabrication of his. So the other guys go... to his Alaskan supervillain lair to stop him, even though he isn't a supervillain.
Which sounds a lot sillier than it is. Like, when I heard that plot point, it's like, oh, that's going to be stupid. And then you see the movie, it's like, oh, okay, of course they've got to go.
Wait, pretty well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do they do when they get there? They start having a punch-up with him. They have a fight with him.
A Matrix-y fight, by the way. Did you get that vibe? I was like...
Kind of. Didn't bother me that much.
It didn't bother me, but like I was thinking, just like any second, like Rorschach or Night Owl was going to do the Trinity kick, and the camera was going to, you know, 180. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But the thing that really stuck out like a sore thumb for me was they start having this fight with him, then he beats them both back, and then he gives some exposition, and Night Owl and Rorschach just stand there casually listening to him. As if they've been having a philosophical discussion
the entire time, not fighting each other. There's a moment in the background where, like, you know, he's walking up the stairs and, like, Rorschach wants to go after him and Night Owl stops. I mean, he's just like, stop.
It was a little thing, maybe. It's just the way that they were standing. It didn't do much. It looked a little silly to me. They were just standing there, just listening to him. I don't know. And from what we've seen of Rorschach in the past, it just... You know, Night Owl telling him to just stop. He'd want to do more than that.
Isn't that why you have the scene after they break him out where he goes, which actually was one of my favorite scenes in the movie, where he goes, you know, look, it's such an odd moment. It sticks out in a good way. I don't know if people are going to like it, where, you know, Rorschach's like, look, I'm sorry. I know it can be difficult, and you have been nothing but a good friend to me, Dan. You know, I was like, wow, that's a great moment, you know.
That was a good scene, I agree. Okay, well, maybe I've lost the fight for that one.
No, not at all. You stick to your gun, sir.
Well, that was bothersome to me.
Okay.
Although I didn't mind the idea of framing Dr. Manhattan at all. In fact,
that was great.
Some people have said that they thought that didn't work because that makes the U.S. responsible. And feel responsible, and because it's somebody they know, they should be able to handle the problem rather than just give up and cooperate with the Russians and say we're doomed. I've got to disagree with that completely.
Yeah.
I thought the movie did a great job of setting up the fact that they know he's a god, he's unstoppable, indestructible, and there is nothing on earth that can stop him. He's capable of anything. And so, yeah, if you know Dr. Manhattan's gone bad, yeah, you're going to give up, or you're going to cooperate with absolutely everybody, because you can't possibly, the world's greatest superpower cannot stop that guy. I thought that was perfectly well established, so I didn't have a problem with that at all. It's amazing how the second Rorschach explodes is the second, for me, the movie sort of deflates very, very quickly. Rorschach explodes, Dr. Manhattan destroys him, Night Owl goes, no! Which is fine, but then he runs back inside and starts beating up Ozymandias again. And it's not just that he's beating him up again, and it's like, yeah, we've already seen this, but it's like, then he starts overacting and giving this, like, bad speech, which is essentially saying, yes, you brought us peace, but at what cost? At what cost? And sort of ramming the message of the movie down our throats at this point. Is like, yeah, you haven't changed the world, you've deformed it. Yeah, we get it. You spent the last 5 minutes discussing this. We have brains, we can figure that out for ourselves. We can talk about that in the pub afterwards. You don't have to ram it down our throats, Zack Snyder. But that's what I felt they did. At the scene after that, you know, back in the apartment with Silk Spectre and Night Owl and the mother, didn't bother But there was so much, even though I knew, yeah, even me who hasn't read the books, I said, yes, I feel a disturbance in the Force. This was not in the book, I'm pretty sure. I'm sensing happy ending vibes here. And then, it's just, you know the shot I'm talking about. It's not so much the idea that Ozymandias is reconstructing New York.
Right.
It's the American flags, man. It just has these connotations that it makes everybody roll their eyes. And it's just, that's just silly. And then, you know.
Oh, you know what made me roll my eye was the line at the end where he goes, he's like, hey, Nixon's not going to run for another term.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I went like this. I was like, yuck, 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 fuck you, Schneider, we get it. You know, it's like, yeah. That's so stupid. Although, I don't know if that was in the comic book or not. That might have been like an ad. That could have been from
probably.
The comic. I know the last scenes, I was like, oh, God, that's so stupid.
But even so, there's a way you can say that.
Yeah, exactly.
That doesn't feel like.
So
but
stupid.
But yeah, those were my thoughts on the minutes. The last 5 minutes just, it didn't ruin the movie for me, but I felt, must try harder. That's what I felt. But do you disagree with me?
I didn't have any problems with that ending whatsoever. I thought, if anything, you know, it Rorschach, you know, standing up and saying, I thought, I didn't notice.
I'll tell you something about Rorschach.
I didn't notice the flags playing in the background, actually. I didn't notice that any of that stuff. I walked out loving the flick. I'm not going to see it for a long, long time. I'm not going to go see it again in theaters. I'm going to wait quite a while till I see it again on DVD, because this is the kind of flick that you do. I mean, the one thing I do agree on, everyone said they don't want to talk about it immediately. They have to let it settle in. And, you know, I saw it 2 days ago, and I'm talking about it now, so obviously I kind of disagree with that feeling. But in terms of seeing it again, it's got to be a while. I can't just go back and see this flick again. You do have to let it settle in before you revisit it.
Well, see, you touched upon something there that is making me think that this movie isn't going to have the lasting power that some people might think it does. I don't think, and I know it's cliche to use The Dark Knight as a comparison,
but I'm going to do it anyway. Now, what do you mean by, do you mean like box office, or do you just mean
I don't just mean box office, I mean as in it's a movie that people discuss. There is so much in The Dark Knight that people can discuss, can analyze, plot points, the Joker's plan, you know, did Batman break his only rule at the end by killing Two-Face and taking a life, blah, 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 stuff like that. I think Watchmen does so good a job of explaining the plot.
Yes.
That there's really not that much to discuss and analyze, really. All that you can discuss is the changes that were made between the book and the film. As a film, just watching it, I didn't mean, maybe I'm stupid, but it didn't seem to me like there was that much to analyze beyond the surface of the movie. There's not that much subtext there, really.
I'd have to really see it again, to be honest. And again, that will be for a while. But box office-wise, let's just segue into that now. You know, we had a lot of people who were, and let's just say it honest, man, they were nerdgasming. They were so excited that the Watchmen was coming, that they assumed everyone else was just as excited. So when they said, like, it's going to make $80 million in 3 days, that was never going to happen. And I predicted, and Phil predicted, in the 50s region. A few other people.
Jamie, I just need to throw in a little disclaimer here.
Yes.
The following opinions of film nerd Jamie might be sensitive to some people's ears who don't like to hear when film nerd Jamie was right. Thank you.
Or Phil. Phil was right too, though. And it's not, well,
yes, I don't take quite as much pleasure in saying I was
right. Yeah, being right is way underrated in my opinion. You know, I mean, let's be fair here. The movie is just under 3 hours. It's a hard R, and boy, is it a hard R. And it's a lesser known comic book. And don't give me this whole, well, it's the most acclaimed graphic novel of our time. People didn't know about that. I mean, fucking get that out of the, you know, get that argument out of the window. It was never going to make $70 million. And all these, like, I'm shocked by the box office analysts, the people who were professionals, and they said $70 million. I was like, what? Really? God, you're going to be wrong. And then it's pulled in 55.7 is the estimate. It will probably go down, slightly down. So the question is, how bad does it drop next weekend? It drops pretty bad next weekend because the reaction from the general public has been pretty – it's been mixed to negative. It has not been good. People were let into this flick believing it's going to be a sort of like another Dark Knight or an X-Men, but R-rated. So it'll be a little more violent. Boy, this movie wasn't it at all. It was never going to be that. But the marketing made you think that. And I definitely got like a Hulk vibe from it, the Angley Hulk and Daredevil. Not in terms of quality, not in any way, shape, or form, since I loved Watchmen, but in the fact that you had, you know, it came out the year after the comic book movie event of our time, or what was perceived as, which back then was Spider-Man, and now it's Dark Knight, and so you have all these films coming out, and they're proclaiming that they're the next Spider-Man, or they're the next Dark Knight. So they have huge opening weekends, and then people hate it, and then they plummet the next weekend. The question is, how badly does Watchmen plummet next weekend? I say pretty badly. Does it fall as bad as Hulk, which Hulk dropped 70% last weekend. I mean, its second weekend. I think it drops in the definitely 65. It could hit 70. It'll drop big next weekend. This movie is not staying at number one next weekend.
I'm going to say 65. My reasons what I've always based this on is that I truly believe that most people, a mass audience, they go to see a film to feel something, anything.
Yes.
There's a reason why Transformers was so successful. It's because it did make people care tremendously about the characters, but it made people go, holy shit, that's awesome. Holy shit, I've never seen that before. That's an emotion that it's dragging out of you. 300, as an Action United film, that made people go, oh man, I feel so macho now I've seen that. What an amazing story. Oh god, those guys were hot. Stuff like that, you know, that was a great movie. It drags emotions out of you. You remember, Jamie, I said when I came out of Incredible Hulk last year, I said, this movie is not going to cling with us. It's not going to stay around because it's so hollow. There's nothing there. There's nothing there to brag emotions out of people. I watched it and I didn't feel a single thing coming out of it. And what happened? It dropped. I don't even think it grossed the same more than the original
barely.
Hulk movie.
It made barely. Watchmen, it made about a million more than the Ang Lee film.
Oh, well done.
No, but that's barely. I mean, that's like, damn. Yeah.
And, you know, I've got to say this, Superman Returns.
Yeah.
I felt some things during that movie, but a lot of people felt nothing during that movie. And that has so much to do with repeat business. Watchmen doesn't have anything that makes you feel anything. It's a cold movie. We've seen it. Only the most diehard fans of the book. And even then, I'm not sure they're going to see it twice, because they probably feel like there's a million things, million little tiny incidentessible things that it did wrong.
Ooh, I see.
It's going to drop big.
It's going to drop big, no doubt about that. And leading up to the release, I honestly got the impression that the Race to Witch Mountain film that comes out next weekend was going to kick its ass. And here's the thing, Phil. What have been the most successful movies this year so far? They've been the popcorn films. People want to escape from the economy right now. I've said it many times. I've said it many times. You know, we will get through this economic crisis. We will. I have no doubt about that. But right now, people want to escape. They want to be entertained for 2 hours. Watchmen is not that. The movie was never trying to be that. But people got the idea that it was going to be escapes entertainment, you know, and it wasn't.
How much opening weekend did that
Paul Blart Mall Cop? It opened to like 25, I think, and it's still, you know what? It's still in the top 10, and it actually went up last weekend.
Yeah,
a spot. I mean, it's staying incredible. No, that doesn't happen often. It's been playing for the longest time. Taken has done phenomenally well also. I was surprised by that. Taken, yeah, I mean, it's that's amazing. It actually went up a spot too this weekend, apparently. It was number 4 last weekend. It went up to number 3. And Paul Blart also went up yet another spot. It was at number 6 last week. Now it's number 5. I mean, that's incredible. And these are – people want to be entertained, man. It's as simple as that. So I think the Witch Mountain movie is going to deliver what people want, which is a sort of a genre, fantasy, sci-fi, action-adventure film with Dwayne Johnson, who's very popular with people. I think that's going to end up making a lot of money.
I think it looks like crap, though.
It looks like crap. Oh, no doubt. Particularly at the beginning of the trailer when like he is in the cab and all of a sudden you see like stormtroopers get in. I was like, oh, God, yuck, yuck, yuck. But damn, that thing is going to make a lot of money.
I don't want to waste another breath on it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The important thing is
back on.
The important thing is Watchmen has been made, the unfilmable has been made filmable. Out of 10, because it's so cold, because I really didn't feel anything, because I felt there was some parts where we were given over exposition,
right.
Because I felt the last 5 minutes really sucked, I can't give it any bigger than a 7 out of 10. But still, I thoroughly enjoyed it. What are you going to give it?
I would say a 9. That would be my reaction.
Wow.
It was really good. You know, 8.5, 9. It was pretty damn high, you know.
Well, that's great. I'm happy for you.
And let's, before we change our subject, let's go ahead and say right now, because I'm sure people are going to shit on us, $55 million is solid as hell. That's a great opening weekend, given the criteria of what Watchmen was. So we're not disputing that, but we're just saying that people really were just nerdgasming like mad, thinking it was going to do better, and that never was a realistic possibility. So, you know, told you so. That's all I got to say. So moving on. What
trailers.
Else?
Trailer talk.
This has been a big week in trailers, folks. I feel bad for Phil because he didn't get the new Star Trek trailer in front of Watchmen. There, I said it. He was really looking forward to it. It's right. We talked about it on the show and we talked about it privately before and afterwards when we stopped recording. I actually saw it actually leaked on the internet Thursday night. Someone had it up on a UK movie news website and I saw it. And then seeing it, and then I saw it again on the big screen the next day. I liked it, but boy, that second trailer was fantastic, I think.
The second trailer, you mean the one that came out at Christmas and was our first real look at it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, technically, yeah, it's the first trailer, but really it's the second. That was the second, since like the first was a teaser, you know. But yeah, getting that bullshit aside, Star Trek.
Why isn't it as good as the other trailer for you?
I don't know. It's just I can't put my can't. Explain it, man. I just don't know. It's good, but maybe all the slow-mo things at the, you know, like Kurt getting in the captain's chair for the first time and then making a big deal of that shit. I was like, it's a little much. But I think Star Trek will probably end up, I'm on the fence, but I could see it do big business this summer.
Well, as I was telling you, we got the first trailer. As in, you know, the first full-length trailer,
yeah.
Not the teaser.
With
That's
Dial.
The one trailer we got in front of Watchmen. And just as a quick side note, it is absolutely stunning to me how many IMAX movies are coming out this year. We've got – let me just run them down for you. We've got Ice Age 3, which I have no interest
really?
In seeing.
I didn't know that was going to be – wow.
It's true. It's coming out.
I didn't know it was an IMAX. Wow.
That's what – yeah, it's true. It's an IMAX movie. Then we've got Monsters versus Aliens, which again
great.
I have no interest
that's
in seeing
do,
really.
That is going to do really well. That comes out in like 3 weeks. That's going to do really well also.
Yeah, I think so. There's nothing much opening around it. It should have April to itself. We've got Star Trek. We've got Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And we've got Transformers 2. All opening in the next couple of months on IMAX.
That's...
Which is a bit weird to me.
That's pretty cool. And I'm assuming that Avatar will be an IMAX release.
I bloody hope so, because I'll already tell you, Jamie. No. I'm going to do the London trip again, the same
nice.
I did with Dark Knight. I'm going to go down to London. I'm going to see Avatar there this Christmas, assuming it comes out this Christmas. If it doesn't, I'm gonna find James Cameron, and I'm going to cleave him in the head.
Beat his ass.
Beat his ass
down. Don't hurt me. I made Titanic. And then like people will beat on him even more.
Why didn't you make Terminator 3, you piece of shit?
There's a Terminator 4 coming out, you know. Yeah, and you're not involved.
This trailer, I've got to tell you, this trailer was completely, we're talking about the new Star Trek trailer, folks.
Yes.
It was completely not what I was expecting. I was expecting they were going to make it look like a zippy, rip-roaring fun, maybe bring out the Jerry Goldsmith theme, you know, come join the characters you all remember and love and join them on their first great mission. And no, it wasn't like that. It was like, wow, they brought out for once, a trailer that brings out the choir music and it doesn't feel cliche. I thought it was great. It's really grand and operatic, excuse me, and awesome. I thought it was fantastic. I have to say, if Star Trek is not a huge box office success, it won't be from lack of trying. I think they have done the best job possible with these trailers. The posters could be a little better, but they've still got a little bit of time to bring out some new great posters. But the trailers have all been fantastic. I cannot wait to see this.
I agree. So, okay, moving on to the next trailer. Now, did you see the new Terminator Salvation trailer?
I did.
That. I gotta say this real quickly. My best friend Chip is finishing up film school, and we were talking about the films coming out this summer. He flat out said, Williams, he said, Terminator Salvation is the only movie like that everyone I know at school is genuinely pumped about of the, all
I
the
did
summer
that
releases.
Too. Yeah.
And I always thought Terminator Salvation would do well. Having seen that third trailer, I'm convinced he's right. That is going to be a mega hit. Like, that thing is going to do so much business. And I wasn't that excited about it
until I saw this trailer.
And let's say one more thing. There's been a debate. There's been a story going out this week about how McGee wants to get an R rating, and their Warner Brothers is fighting him for it. Because of Watchmen, it's getting a PG-13 rating. I'll go ahead and, you know, Peter and I discussed this privately, and he went out and said that elsewhere. He's right. This is going to get a PG-13 rating, man. After Watchmen, there's no way Warner Brothers is going to be willing to put another $200 million movie with an R rating. Not happening. That's getting a PG-13.
Well, most of the violence will be done to robots, so I don't see it being a problem, really.
Well, I mean, if you can get a PG-13 with Dark Knight, I don't see how you can't get it with Terminator. So I think they'll get it. They'll get the PG-13.
I agree. There's a lot you can get away with in a PG-13 these days. The standards just keep getting lowered. Don't you remember that scene in Terminator 3 where the TX is in the back of a cop car and she punches a hole through the guy's stomach and drives the wheel for him? Do you remember that bit?
Yes. It was an R, though.
That was a PG-13. It was an R?
Yes.
Was it? I thought it was a PG-13.
No.
It was a 12 over here.
Well, God bless your country, but no, it was an R.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. But this trailer, I mean, this trailer tells a story.
This plot.
I find it so weird how they've completely dropped any pretense about who this Sam Worthington character is. It was supposed to be this big secret, and they've just given up.
The movie comes out in two months. I mean, it's about time to get that out. And not only that, but just to actually hear Sam Worthington talk now after, like, hearing about the guy for, like, 2 years. You know, and everyone's saying he's going to be the next big thing because he's headlining Avatar this Christmas, and he's co-starring in this with Bale. I mean, yeah, it's finally great to actually see the guy in action and see what's all, you know, if he's all that. He's pretty good.
It's great. It's great. And I've got to say, you know, I was saying I think the Star Trek posters could be better. The posters they're doing for this.
Oh, they're awesome.
They're looking beautiful.
Wow, I think you just nerdgasm there, sir.
I did. Especially, I mean, the image, I mean, I'm loving the character posters, but, you know, the skyline, the top-down skyline that morphs into an endoskeleton skull, can't get enough of that.
That's
I can't get enough of that. I love that.
I agree.
I mean, it's pretty much every movie, every big blockbuster movie like this needs an image. It needs an identifiable image to identify itself with, and that movie has its image, and it's that.
I agree. Let's see. Another big trailer came out. I actually have not seen Up, the Up trailer.
God damn you!
Go ahead and talk about it, sir.
I'm just kidding. Like I've said, and I'll say it again, because I like hearing it, Up is my most anticipated film of the year, and this new trailer, we finally get a real sense of the plot. We get introduced to some of the other characters, albeit very briefly, and it is one of those trailers, it seems to tell the basic, the opening of the movie gets condensed and told in a short 2 minute form, and it's hilarious. I swear, I am not, just because I'm looking forward to this movie, I am not going to force myself to like a trailer. If I think a trailer for Up sucks, I'll tell you so. This trailer's absolutely hilarious. There's this one image of that they have the voiceover guy, and he says, all his life, Carl Frederick, I forget, Carl, whatever his last name is, all his life, Carl has been wanting adventure. And this is played to this hilarious shot of Carl going down the stairs in a stair lift. And it's just this, the expression on the guy's face, he's not even moving the stair lift, he's completely motionless, looking straight ahead as this incredibly slow stair lift just takes him down the stairs and then stops halfway down. It's really, really funny. And the Boy Scout character looks really, really great. And we get introduced to this talking dog. The dog doesn't talk, his collar talks. I'm not sure how this is going to work yet. It seems to be some phantasmagorical device where it's either his thoughts are being brought out by this talking collar, or it's someone else speaking for the dog. I have no idea, but it's really funny. And we also get a little brief glimpse at the villain of the film, who's voiced by Christopher Plummer, as I understand it. There's this explorer character that Carl looks up to all his life, and he's looked up to all his life and wanted to be an adventurer just like him. And in this movie, we finally meet the guy, and turns out he's a bit of a nasty person, and he's the villain of the piece. We only get one shot of him, but still, I think it's awesome Christopher Plummer's in this movie. It's just a really funny trailer, dude. It looks great. Can't wait to see it.
I'm looking forward to it a lot. I'm actually staying away from it because I don't want to...
That's fair enough.
You know, it's like, I don't mind being told like what some of the images and scenes are. That's fine.
That's good because I just did.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, you know, I don't have a say in that argument. But I'd rather go into that one pretty clean. I was the same way with WALL-E. You know, I saw only one. I think there were like two or three trailers for WALL-E. I only saw like the first one. Left it at that. Looking forward to this. Let's see what else. Oh, Public Enemies trailer also debuted this week.
Which I didn't see. Wow. Sorry.
It's the new Michael Mann film about John Dillinger and whoever the hell went after John Dillinger. I forget who his name was, played by Christian Bale. Looks really good. It comes out this coming 4th of July weekend. The one complaint I really have about it, though, is the fact that apparently they're using HD digital cameras so you can tell it's video and not film, and it just looks so jarring to see that. I think that was a complaint I heard other people make too. But I think it's going to do really well. Man, Johnny Depp and Bale, like, man, Bale is really putting himself up there as being a big, you know, box office draw, even with, the audio gate or whatever you want to call it that happened about a month ago. I think that's more or less blown over, if you ask me.
All I can tell you is that the poster has Johnny Depp in a gangster outfit. That's got people in the theatre. I'm convinced of it. You might argue that Will Smith's the only bankable guy right now. The box office of £7 might convince you otherwise, but no, I've actually
said Johnny Depp was... I listed him next to Will Smith, actually.
Yeah. I think him alone on the poster, that will get people in the theatre.
Although, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, it says his name on top and then underneath, and then Public Enemies, and then it has Bale underneath, and you know they'll probably do another one with Bale, you know, and his name on top and then Johnny Depp underneath, just to get the whole, like, kind of like what they did with American Gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Quite well. I'm assuming they'll do that. If they don't, that's not a good sign for Bale. Let's see. Oh,
Wolverine?
Yeah, last but not least, I don't think there was any other trailers this week.
There was a new Harry Potter one, but I guess you didn't see that.
I forgot about Harry Potter. I did not see that. You'll have to tell me. I'm the same way with that one as I am with Up. I really don't want to go into that. You know, I know certain plot points that happen in the books, but, you know, I like the idea of going in relatively clean for the most part.
Well, I have a hell of a lot to say about Harry Potter 6 and what I think its box office chances are, but I'm going to save that for our summer prediction show. All I'll tell you is that they're calling this the second trailer or the third trailer. I've seen like five of them now. They keep releasing new trailers for this film every single month.
Damn.
Every single one of them has been awesome. Honestly, the people who do the Harry Potter trailers, they always make these movies look good. And this movie looks so good.
Well, I mean, Harry Potter sells itself. I mean, there's very few. I mean, that's why
I think that's not true. You have to put the effort in. You have to make great trailers.
Let me rephrase that. You know, you're right. That's true. That's with any movie. But more than anything else, this has name recognition. People will go because of, oh, it's a Harry Potter film. When are tickets available?
I can say it's coming out next Tuesday and everybody will go.
There you go. The thing – that's why I think it's going to be so big. That, there's only two films this summer that have that going for it, and it's that and Transformers, and that's why those will be the top earning films of the summer. No doubt in my mind, it'll be those two.
You don't think Terminator has name recognition?
It does, but also, you know, you're having to sell it also as a new thing with Bale as being the face of the franchise now. Arnold's not in it, supposedly. We don't know what, even if the cameo happens. It's Bale's movie, essentially. They're selling it off him, and they're, you know, it's a franchise revival, so you can't just assume, like, oh, people will go because it's so-and-so. Because, you know, with Batman Begins, Superman Returns, those movies did really well. Those movies made a lot of money, but yet they didn't perform as much as people thought they would because everyone assumed, like, oh, well, it's Batman and Superman, so people will go off the name recognition. And that wasn't the case. You had to sell to an audience that this is the new character. This is, you know, this is the new series, a new take on the character. You can't just assume that. So Terminator is in the same way, although it's obviously there's a lot more buzz going into Terminator than I think there were for Superman and Batman's revival films, I think.
Fair enough. Like I say, this trailer looks awesome. So Wolverine,
yeah,
can I just start the ball on this chain?
Yeah, I got a headache, so you go ahead and do it, and maybe it'll make it better. I really do have a headache, but now we're talking about Wolverine, so at least I have a reason for having a headache. It's like, God, that looks so bad.
I have gone on record and said that I liked the first Wolverine trailer.
And I never forgave him.
Did. Doesn't return my calls. Hates me. Will just argue with me for the sake of arguing. But
right.
I said I thought it looked good. It told a story. It had action. The dialogue wasn't that bad. I thought it was looking okay. This trailer looks fucking horrible.
Why is Cyclops in the movie?
Oh, God, I don't know. Look, I said this. We've said this on this show that I do not understand how it's going to seek into X-Men 1. I just don't see it. Jackman says it will.
Yeah, and I believe him. No offense. I mean, let's be fair here. Jackman, it's kind of what I just said earlier about being the face of a franchise. I mean, he's always been the face of the X-Men franchise. Wolverine is going to have a huge opening weekend. Like, everyone said, you know, Watchmen, 70, 80. No, Wolverine will have the $70 and $80 million opening weekend because everyone loves Hugh Jackman. I mean, the Oscar ratings were up, like, 15% because single-handedly because of Jackman. It wasn't because people wanted to go see Slumdog win everything. No, they went for him. They will go to see Wolverine for Jackman.
I don't know, man. I think if the word of mouth is really bad...
That's after
it opens. Bad.
That's after, yeah, but that's after the opening. That's not going to matter.
I don't know. I
think it's going to plummet the second week, and I'm with you. That's why Star Trek has the advantage. But still, man, it's going to open big.
Well, look, let me say this about the trailer. On the plus side, the special effect shots are looking very nice. It looks very nice in terms of its special effects. Oh, it doesn't look crappy at all. The first trailer told a story, which is why I liked it. It actually initiated people who didn't know who the hell Wolverine is and haven't seen an X-Men movie in their lives. They can get something out of the first trailer and understand what the hell is going on. This new trailer assumes you know who Wolverine is, doesn't tell a story. It's just a bunch of special effects and action shots cut together in this traditional... It's trailer 101 again, you know, choir music, fast-cutting action, and then... At the end, I knew it was coming. They have a money shot and then they cut to the title and everything goes quiet. And I was thinking, oh God, I know what's going to happen now.
Yeah.
I know exactly what's going to happen now. They're going to have one final little scene and it's going to have a joke in it, which they think is so funny. And look, every trailer does that. The Dark Knight trailer did that. The problem with that is, if it's for a movie you want to see, you've seen the trailer so many bloody times. By the time the actual line comes up in the film, you're just like, eh. Which was true with The Dark Knight. They had the Lamborghini joke. And by the time it actually came up in the film, we all knew it by heart. So we just had to, you know, quickly roll our eyes during that 5 seconds. This? Good God. Ooh, shiny. Fuck off. Just fuck off. I'm angry. That just completely killed me.
Well, I mean, it looks. I mean, what else can it be? I mean, what else can be said about
it? I guess you get so hung up in just a line. It seems so silly, but I mean, come on, ooh, shiny. That's really what we want to hear Sabretooth say, isn't it?
I
it's not like this is any character. It's Sabretooth.
Well, I mean, I still am getting my head around the fact that they keep saying, like, oh, it's going to match with continuity, and that they've hired someone who looks nothing like Tyler Mane to play, you know, Sabretooth.
Well, I can understand that change.
I can, but I can't. I can. Okay. You know what I mean. It's like, yeah, you want someone who clearly, like, you know, acts for a living and shit. I get that. But yeah. Still. Anyway.
Oh, fuck.
I think
that was all of them, wasn't it?
That was all of them. What else is going on this week? I got nothing. No. Let's see. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to be headlining Christopher Nolan's Inception, his sci-fi action set within the architects of the human mind, you know, film that comes out next summer. Hey, I think DiCaprio is one of the best actors working right now. Sounds like a good combination, man. Although I still question the whole, like, idea of let's put it out during the summer. It's like, really? Like, this – I know they're keeping the plot really, like, top secret and shit, and it's clearly an example where, like, you know, Nolan's got so much power and sway right now that he can make whatever he wants, so he wants to make this. And they're going to sell it off the fact that it's Nolan and it's DiCaprio. I don't know, man. Just, like, I don't know how you sell this to an audience. I know, obviously, we don't even know what the plot is. They haven't even shot a frame of footage yet, but, you know, I'm looking forward to it. Just from a commercial, from a standpoint of, like, selling it as a movie to the average filmgoer, I don't know how that happened. I don't know. I'm iffy about that.
Well, as long as it's not some massively overbloated budget film,
no,
you know, I have no reason to believe it will be, then everything should be fine. I'm not worried.
Okay. Here's actually the last really news item I have, and I think it's really interesting. I was going to hold it off till I told Phil about this, but apparently, Kevin Smith is actually going to direct a movie that he didn't write for the first time in his career. Feature-length film, yeah. He's done.
That was sounding to be fainting, by the way.
I can tell, you know. He does a podcast every week. It's great. It's called Smodcast. It's him and Scott Mosier, who is his producing partner and his best friend. And other people, like his wife will show up and other friends, and they'll shoot the shit about random stuff. And if you've been listening lately, Smith has been hinting that he's going to do something else that he's never done. He's going to do another movie outside, you know, that he's going to do something different. And the most recent edition, Mosier said that he wasn't going to produce it. So it would be his first movie without Mosier at his side. And now we find out it's a movie called A Couple of Dicks. And it's going to star Bruce Willis and Tracy Jordan. Or Tracy Morgan, I'm sorry. I got his character mixed up from 30 Rock. Comedian Tracy Morgan, who plays the character of Tracy Jordan on 30 Rock. Apparently it's some kind of crime caper. It's interesting, man. Smith's actually going to do something that's not his. I guess it sort of explains he was so bummed out about Zach and Miri underperforming as badly as it did that he's going to do something he's never done before. I think it's a good thing. I think it's great that he's putting himself out there and trying to do something new.
I don't believe it. I'll tell you why. Until they actually start shooting this thing, I'm not going to believe it's happening. Smith has been down this road before. Now, first of all... Smith tells this great story. If you either buy his book, see, I'm really plugging his stuff right now. Either buy his book, My Boring Ass Life, or buy Sold Out, An Evening with Kevin Smith 3. Smith tells this awesome story about his time on Live Free or Die Hard, or Die Hard 4.0, and how, you know, he really helped out the production during his scenes, got to know Bruce Willis, and Bruce Willis called him up and said, hey, let's do a movie together. Looks like that's coming true. That's great. But, you know, Smith has said, after he did Jersey Girl, he was going to make The Green Hornet. And Mosier backed out of that. It was a big studio movie. Mosier didn't want to produce it. And Smith eventually dropped out of it as well because it was a bigger budget movie. He was going to have to listen to a studio more on the line. And he had no interest, his words, in producing anything that wasn't with his partner in crime, Scott Mosier. I don't understand why he suddenly changed his tune all of a sudden. Now, look, it might sound like I'm getting at Kevin Smith. I adore Kevin Smith. I share my birthday with the guy. I absolutely love the guy. And if he does this, fantastic. It'll be great to see him do something different and do something that people might actually go and see. But I'm not going to believe it until he actually starts shooting. Sorry.
Well, I mean, the movie has a release date already set of, like, January 29th, 2010, so that means it should be filming, you know, probably around the summertime. You know, because, you know, movies can get churned out pretty quickly. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was... I don't think this will be a situation like Green Hornet where he backs out at the 11th hour. Maybe that's why he's being so quiet about it. Like, I don't even think he's still commented about it yet. Ever since...
I don't know.
It's weird. We'll see. That's all I've got on Docket. Anything else you've got, sir?
No, not on my mind at the moment. I think we've done a nice pacey show. I think we should wrap up here.
All right, well, this is a good movie moan. Folks, thanks for listening. Go see Watchmen, because, you know, it won't be around. I mean, it'll probably be around for another few weeks, but still, I mean, the whole, like, it's going to make 300 money, since we know that's not happening now, it won't have as long a stay, so please, go see Watchmen, enjoy it, debate it, you know, and whatnot. Phil, wrap it up, sir.
Phil's Diary, March 8th, 2009. I hate when Jamie's right. We'll see you next week.